Amen. Praise God. So you'll be wondering, why is the pastor today not wearing the normal jacket he wears? I'm feeling lighter. After the church camp, I'm feeling lighter. So I want to feel lighter all the time. So I'm wearing this very easy. This happens to be, this week happens to be the week for our national day, the Independence Day. So batik being a national dress, so I started wearing it for this week and next week. So we'll wear batik this week and next week to show that Lord blesses this country and blesses the nation. Amen? So we are part of this nation and we cannot be away from this nation. And I think I preached about Nehemiah. When I preached about Nehemiah, you believe that when he was praying, he was very sorry. He was very sad about the nation. He was in the citadel. He was actually somewhere near Turkey, present-day Turkey. But at that time, he was crying out for the people of his land. He cried out so much so that even the king at the time said, "Why are you crying? Why are you so sad?" And he released him that to go back and build is the walls of Jerusalem. So we must be the same. We must have the same national feeling for our country where you are. God has brought you to a country that you were born in for the reason and a purpose. Amen? Always remember, God has placed us in a family. It's because God wants us to be in that family. It doesn't matter, we are not royalties. We are royalties in the kingdom of God. We are citizens of? In the heavenly kingdoms. Amen. We are citizens of? Heavenly kingdoms. The kingdom of God. We are a member of? We are a member of the household of God. Amen? When you start saying, "I'm a member of a certain body," it doesn't work. Do you understand? So you're building a kingdom of your own. We don't want to build a kingdom of the pastors. We don't want to build a kingdom of a church, which is called one church name. But we are a member of a household of God. Amen? Praise God. So because of that, God has placed us in a family. We appreciate our parents. We appreciate our grandparents. We appreciate our children. God has blessed us, these children, into this our family. Amen? God has blessed you with our spouse. Whether you fell in love or matchmate, doesn't matter. But God has placed you together. It's now working out marriage. The journey. This last week, I had a lot of people, since I came back from the church camp, I think I've counseled many people this last week alone. For even last night until late night, I was here counseling couples. So let's pray together today that marriages will stick together. That what God has designed and purposed for will not be a place of coy for the evil one. Amen? Amen? So the powers of darkness will have no power in the marriages. Right? That's the reason why today being the last Sunday, if there is always not about birthdays, but if there is no marriage, there is no birthdays. So we must cherish the marriage first. Amen? Those of them who have broken marriages, they will understand them what they are missing. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you are in a situation, only then you'll understand the feeling of what you are losing in your life. Amen? So we pray that today, even before I start, because I do not know why, God has placed so many people from across from, even from other towns came here for this week to be counseled and put marriages together. And thank God and praise God, there were at least 3 marriages reinstated back again. And there's no divorce. And this week, God has blessed this church with that gift. And I pray, I want to part this gift to somebody in this church, that you'll be able to receive the same gift. And be a counselor. You'll be an encourager and a stabilizer. Remember last week we said, what you are called to be? 1 Thessalonians. What we are called to be? Hello? Stabilizer. What is another word for stabilizer? Hello? Just 1 week. We forgot that. Why are we gathered here for? Assembly of children for what? To encourage one another. To? The other one. Stabilizer. Establish. To establish and encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Amen? The third one is what? To equip. So there are 3 things we've got to do. We remember this. Every time I'm going to ask you again. Remember. What are you called to be as a Christian? Just to come and warm chairs? listen to some pastor, listen to him, and then not enough, you go to another pastor and listen to him, and then you slip out throughout the message. Is that what you are supposed to be? No, we are called to be, again, establish and encourage and to equip. Amen. Praise God. So it's not a pastor or not look up the person, only one person establishes, encourage, and then after that equip you all. No. You are called to be, every Christian is called to be an establisher, encourager, and an equipper. Amen. That's the power you have. What is the power? What is the bazooka you have? What is the cannon you have? What's the name? What's his name? Jesus. The name of your bazooka is what? Jesus. No weapons formed against you shall be prosperous. Why? Because Jesus lives in you. Amen? Let's establish that. Praise God. So today we would like to see, I talked about, before that, I talked about a couple of things. I talked about prison break. Right? We had a series of prison break. Brother Andrew was anxious about prison break. He says, when will this pastor shut his gap and say, shut up, no more prison break? I found a new word for prison break. This iPhone has got something called jailbreak. So I should have used the modern language. It's called jailbreak, no prison break. Let me say I showed my age to all of you all. Excuse me. Alright? So it's jailbreak. But today I want to talk about something else. To be prisoned again. You just got out of prison, now we want to prison again. Let's see what God wants to speak to us today from Ephesians. Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for this moment of time. Lord, in every time and every season, you speak to us according to the season. Lord, we want to thank you, Father, even at this time as I speak. I dedicate my mind, my lips and my tongue, my eyes, even my heart to you, Lord Jesus. Everything that I speak, Lord, it will come from you. No words, Lord, will come from my flesh. It shall only from your gospel, Lord, that the words you spoke. Lord, and I pray today that every heart here will be prepared for your word. It will be fertile soil, and the seed will be, Lord, today, Lord, planted, sown into this fertile soil, and it will grow to become a big tree, to be a shadow for many others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. What does he say? For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. Amen? Alright? That's what he says. We got out of a prison the other day. Now we want to go into another prison now. This jail is a different jail than the other jail. Right? The other jail was different. We want to break out from there. Now we want to enter into a different prison. You see, if you look at the gospel, the epistle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he was writing to bless. Chapter 3 of Ephesians is to bless, to pray for the Ephesians church. But somehow or other, from verse 1 until verse 13, he talks about something else, then only he starts blessing from verse 14 onwards. Right? And I pray that's the same blessing I would like this church to have. And everyone who's come here, even visitors who come here, will have the same. Because when Solomon built that temple, and he has a prayer, you will go back and see the prayer Solomon prayed. Even people who do not know you, Lord, who are foreigners, they come to this place, they look up to this place, and they come with faith, and you will hear their prayer. Amen? So people who have come, visitors in this church, too will receive that blessings. Amen? It's a house of God. It's not a house where you are the ruler of it. The ruler here is Jesus Christ. The administrator is the Holy Spirit. So today, what he desires, Paul desires for the Ephesus church, I pray will be the same here. As I prayed for the same thing of Thessalonian church, which we prayed during the time of church camp, I pray the same blessing for this church, which starts from verse 14 onwards. But before verse 14, there was something happening in the heart of Paul. Now this man Paul, at this time, somehow or other, he was into a prison. He was caught into prison. You'll find that why is he in the prison? And when he writes this epistle, he is writing from a prison. He's not writing from outside world. Like us, all of us are free. We can travel wherever you want. Today you decide, you don't want to hear me, you can decide to go down and have a nice pizza downstairs. And then after this, ah, the pizza was better than what pastor was talking. Right? You have a freedom in life. But somehow or other, this man, whose epistles actually cover the last parts of the gospel, had a bigger ministry than the people who are free outside. Hello? We'll find that out. He starts with saying, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Why is he imprisoned? Let's do the insight of that, a context of his being imprisoned, his imprisonment. Verse 1 identifies that he is a prisoner. Prisoner means one is held in bonds. Remember the other day we discussed about it. Prison break? We asked, what is that being in a prison? What is the meaning of being in prison? You are bound. That's what being prison. Your movements are bound. Your thoughts are bound. Your desires are bound. You have limitations to do what you want to do. Very limited things. A prisoner does not have the freedom to do the things that we and I today have got today. They cannot move out. Their cell might be only, the movement only could be 3 feet by 3 feet. And the height could be another 3 feet, which describes our ISA prison in Malaysia. Right? 3 feet by 3 feet, 3 by 3, plus another height 3 feet. So you have to sit down like a dog. That's what the prison in for ISA in Malaysia is all about. That's why some of us want to abolish ISA. Is that right? Hello? You know what is ISA? Isa? It's not Jesus Christ, no. The Malay word for Isa is Jesus Christ. ISA is Internal Security Act, which what we have released now, we want to dump it away. Some other countries are accepting it now. Right? So we don't want ISA, so that we will be not treated like animals. I dare preach from here today because I know it's being recorded. That's what it is all about. We want freedom. Freedom that we can have the capacity that we can move around with. But this man was charged. Why was he in the prison? He was in the prison because he was already, by this time when he wrote this epistle, he was already for 5 years in prison. He's writing an epistle after five years to Ephesus church, which he saw 5 years earlier than that. Probably he went to Ephesus at a time, was probably 7 years ago. Now he writes to them 7 years later. 5 years later. Why was he in the prison? He was in the prison. If you look at Acts chapter 21, verse 21, 26 onwards. He was in the prison, not for the thing that he wanted. The Jews decided that he was accused of bringing a man called Trophimus. Trophimus is a Gentile. He said he was accused of bringing this Gentile man into the holy place where it's forbidden for everyone to go, for a Gentile to enter into the temple of God in Jerusalem. If you read the chapters well, chapter 21, he went there to do something. Even the chapter 21 starts off with how he was being blessed by Philip's daughters in Damascus, and how even another prophet came and spoke into his life. And now he goes on to Jerusalem, and he says the apostles he met was at that time James, and the others he met, and he said, okay, what do you do? I came here to do the things that I want to fulfill in the temple of God. So he said, now you go and bald your head in the temple. Go bald all your head and go inside and pray and do the offerings according to what Moses has said. That's what he was doing. Because the Jews believed in the laws of Moses. They did not want the laws of Jesus Christ. The commandments of Jesus. They didn't accept it. Hello, are you following me? It's not all the Jews, but the Jews in Jerusalem didn't like him specifically. Right? So people in Jerusalem didn't like him. So now as Paul comes and he said he's brought this man into the thing which he did not do, but they accused him of. So they caught him and they imprisoned him. They caught him and they accused him, and the Romans came and took over after that. He took him and then they put him in the prison in Jerusalem. Later on, he, on his request, he was sent out to Caesarea. Caesarea is north of Joppa at the Mediterranean Sea. At north of even Tel Aviv today. It's a huge place. Those who came with me, you will still know that it's a huge place. And we also say that this is where probably Paul was kept during the time he was in captivity in Caesarea. So this man was caught and brought out. But actually he was brought out from Jerusalem to Caesarea because for his own protection. Right? You go back and read the Bible, you'll understand. In Acts chapter 21 onwards, you read, he was brought out from Jerusalem into Caesarea because of his own protection, because the Jews were planning to kill him. Now, I would like to take back a little bit about Paul himself. Paul is a man who had freedom in his life. He had all the freedom. He had authority. He was part of the Sanhedrin. Want to know what the Sanhedrin? Sanhedrin is the group, the council which manages the church, the temple at a time, sorry. The temple. Sanhedrin is the highest council which manages. The high priest is part of the Sanhedrin. It's a council. And there are many others in the council. In order to be Sanhedrin member, you must be knowing the law. You must know the Torah by heart. You must know the laws of Christ. You must know everything that has been mentioned in the Old Testament. And you must be a good lawyer. Only then you can be part of the Sanhedrin. And Saul, at that time his name was Saul, he was a learned man. And he was under Gamaliel. If you look at the teacher of his was Gamaliel. And this man was taught by Gamaliel, and he was a lawyer by profession. And he was the man also, if you look at him, that he was the one who was witnessing the martyrdom of Stephen. Right? Are you with me now? He had authority. He even the last encounter he had was, he took the letters from the Sanhedrin. He was going towards Damascus to go and kill, get all the people who are Christians, who are believers in Christ Jesus, to imprison them, put them into prison. That was his job. He had freedom, is that right? He can do what he wants. He can do anything in the world he wants to, because his power. He's got authority. But suddenly this man is now in prison. The context of his being prisoned is not because he wanted to be prisoned. The Jews wanted to kill him, but the Romans protected him because he's a Roman citizen. They can't do anything much. But in his life, can you just imagine, would Paul ever thought of him being imprisoned in his life? Would you have added any time in his life that he had an imagination, an inclination that he'll be imprisoned in his life? He was imprisoned in Caesarea. Then after that, because in the time when he was in Caesarea, he met with the Jewish Sanhedrin people, examined him, interviewed him, talked to him, interrogated him. The Roman governors, Felix and Festus, interrogated him, listened to him. And then he came before King Agrippa in Caesarea, and he heard, King Agrippa heard him, and King Agrippa would have let him go, but because Paul asked that he should see Caesar, he was not released. Do you follow where I'm going now? Are you with me? Hello? I'm just giving a little bit of history of himself. Now, he is now before King Agrippa. He even almost convinced King Agrippa, if you go and see the Bible. He says, you wouldn't given a little bit of time, you would have convinced me to accept Christ, Jesus Christ, he says. King Agrippa said that. He was convinced that Jesus was the Son of God. But all these things now, suddenly, he's imprisoned. And now he goes all the way to Rome to see Caesar. He was in prison. When he came to Rome, he was also in prison. He had a freedom during daytime. At night, he was bound by chain with the soldiers, Roman soldiers, so that he doesn't escape. That was his life. What does it do to us? What does it give to us? What is Paul talking to us today? Do you remember in our life? In our life, we have got so many plans. It's a reminder to all of us that whatever plans we have does not always go the same way we think and design. Hello? How many of you had a plan? I never had a plan to come and preach before you. I want to retire at the age of 45, have millions of ringgit, go yawking or somewhere and go around, nice, beautiful ladies, and a family, nice family. That's what I thought in my life. Hello? Suddenly you see one man here standing here with gray hair and dark, and he's got to preach before a pulpit. I never thought I'll be preaching. My imagination was in the world. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to have the money. I had almost reached a status where I wanted to be rich. But God says, you're too arrogant to be too rich. He knocked me down and brought me down. God knows our heart. If we don't follow His ways, He knows that He has selected. When His eyes is upon you, when He has chosen you from the time of the womb of your mother, He will never let you go. Even how much you go away from Him, He'll never let you go. You can do all the things in your life, He'll never let you go. The plans you have in your life, the things that you plan in our life, you will ask me personally. I had my diary until my son recently told me to throw away all my diaries, all the goods and the bads. And I had a goal, every year goal, every 3 years to check my goal, 5 years goal, 10 years goal, and a long-term plan until the age of 45. But the age of 40, Lord knocked me down. 39, He knocked me out. Beginning from 38 onwards, He said, you're too much. You're not going my way. Your heart is going towards the world. Your heart is not seeking the kingdom of God. It's very apt this morning, this brother spoke about, you know, seeking the kingdom of God first. You're not seeking the kingdom of God. The more money came into my pocket, the harder my hardened heart was hardened. It was becoming like a rock. There's no feeling for people. Why? Because your eyes was not upon God, was upon the things of the world. Amen? That was more important to me than God and the people of God who's beside you. Amen? Who is the people of God? Hello? Is it you only? You are the only one? Who is the temple of God? I am the temple of God. Who else is temple of God? Those who seated beside you is a temple of God. So when you said this morning, I'm a blessing to you, so you're a blessing to a temple of God. Hello? Does that work out? Hello? Does it make sense? So you have got a person who's sitting beside you. Say hello, temple of God. Say hello to the temple of God next door. Hello? How are you today? How many of you said hello to you? Am I the only one saying to you today? In the temple of God, when it was in Jerusalem, every day thousands of people flocked to the temple. That's why we must be a blessing to another person. Unless you are a blessing, you don't bring the gifts to the temple in Jerusalem, but you bring the gift to the neighbor next door. Hello? You don't have to show the love to the temple inside the temple if you don't show the love to the next door neighbor. Don't show love to your wife. Don't understand your wife. Don't understand the husband. Who is the temple next door to you? Who is your neighbor? Husband, wife, brother, sisters, daughter, son, grandmother, grandfather. Amen? So now he has got a plan. He had a plan in his life. He says, surely I'll never end up. I'll never go this way. My life is set already. I'm part of the Sanhedrin, the highest council in the Judaism. I'm part of it. Maybe one day I'll become the priest, high priest. To become a high priest, you must start from the beginning, isn't it? Then you become a rabbi, you become a teacher, and from teacher, after being a lawyer, the teacher, you learn the word of God, and then you go on teaching. After that, suddenly you become the high priest. So along the council, when he's old, probably age of 60, they'll say, you're old man enough, you have got enough wisdom, I'll put you as the chief priest now. That was his mind. Just like you and I, you've got a mindset saying that I want to be so and so in my life at this time. I want to be a great lawyer. I want to be a great judge one day. That the lawyers, the government will see me as a good lawyer. I'll put me as a judge one day. Is that right? We have our visions and our goals. But never did he have an inclination that he will be in prison. Today, brothers and sisters, not only Paul is being taught a lesson. We are taught a lesson. If you go back in your mind. I wouldn't know the sister who's from Sweden. Is that right, brother, sister? She would ever imagine that she'll be in Malaysia today. At the age of 20, sister, did you have a written saying that you'll be in Malaysia on this day, this time? Never. But you're here today. Right? The visitor there, brother, sister, which country are you from? The U.S. Have you ever thought that you'll be here this day and this time you'll be seated in this church and listen to this man? Never thought. Of all the person I see, this ugly man standing in front of me. Yeah, it's true. So somehow or other, we must understand that today, that we never thought that we'll be what we want to be today many years back.
It's a lesson to us. Don't plan things and think that everything shall come to pass according to your ways. Amen? Don't plan things and say everything. Because I'm a motivating speaker last time. And I have to, my own agency, I have to have plans. My business, I have to plan. I must have this, I must have that, I must have that. Plan. Even that also I fail. My business went bust. Oh, I planned very hard, you know. Day and night sitting down thinking, doing research, this one, that one, materials. It went bust. So it's not in my control. God is in control. Amen? That is how life is. Right? That's what life is all about. You never thought you'll meet your husband. You never thought you'll meet this beautiful lady as your wife. Is that right? Never thought. But this is how God plans, designed. We always think that most things in our life, the relationship we have, even the job or the vacation we have, or the hobby we have, always changes. But the spouse never changes. Okay? Just because I told you, changes means don't change spouse. Don't change children. From the beginning, God said, it's that way. Spouse is spouse. Children are children. Grandparents are grandparents. You cannot change that one. That is all you can change. Job is a very good lesson for all of us. He has changed. His children died. His everything went off. His wife never changed. She was still the same woman. And she bore more children in the older age than the younger age. Amen? So God will have a change in our life. There will be always bigger troubles that we see in our life. And we have to attend to the problem. Some or other, another problem will come in. And we sometimes get discouraged. Though, the fact in life is, who knows the best for us in life? God knows. Who knows the best for us in life? God knows. As I said, it's very apt what brother this morning, he read the word of God. He said, don't you know the birds in the sky, the grass on the field? I created them. I clothe them every day. I feed them. You're much more important than them because I created you in my image. God doesn't look like a bird. God doesn't look like a grass. God doesn't look like a fish. He said, I created you in my image. See, if I've created you in my image, he says, I surely will take care of you. Hello? So God has got his plan for us in our life. Never we imagined. Why? We have got our way. God has got his own way. In Psalm Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Can you put it on, brother? Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Can you got it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and learn not on your own. In all your ways. Amen. Praise God. Acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. You must acknowledge him first. That's what he says. The other one, Proverbs 16:9. Can you put on, brother? A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. A man plans his path, but every step God directs you in your life. Amen? The third one, Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Brother, Jeremiah 10:23. Are you with me? So far? Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks in to direct his own steps. It must be God who's directing our steps. Right? Sometimes we become a robot to him. You want to turn this way, he turns you this way. He turns this way, you turn this way. You want to turn this way, God turns you this way. I say, what is happening to my life? But do not worry. You know, God wanted Paul to be in a prison so that the ministry of Paul will be expanded. Hello? It doesn't work with your mind, isn't it? How can a prisoned man give a big ministry? Till today, we are affected by the letter written by Paul to the Ephesians. We learn a lot from him. Whatever God gave him, the time, he revealed to us. What he wrote is not from his heart. It's from the Spirit of God that he revealed to us today. So his ministry is bigger than the person who was free outside, like Peter. Peter was free. He had power. But you see, Paul was imprisoned. His ministry was bigger. He's traveled more places than Peter or James. Do you follow what I'm saying? It doesn't work in our mind. He doesn't say, if I sit down somewhere in one place, how can I grow? I cannot grow. But God says, you will grow. Amen? You'll be a blessing to others. Regardless of where we find ourselves in life, we must come to the place where we are confident of His sovereign leadership and direction. We must be confident that He is the one who's directing you and He is the leader of our life. The pillar of a marriage is what? What is the pillar of marriage? Christ Jesus. Why I say Christ Jesus? If the husband looks at the Christ inside the wife, there will not be crisis. If the wife looks at the husband, the Christ inside the husband, there will not be any crisis. Because the Christ is missing, that's why there is crisis. Is that right? Hello? I'm telling you from my experience, you all know very well. Life, you must understand, we missed a lot of things in life. And we let's not miss it again in our lives again. Amen? Let's not miss it. We told you the other day during our church time camp, we shall not miss the season that we have missed before. This is the season. Let's walk in the season. And God's season is being parallel to His divine nature. Amen? Praise God. Otherwise, we'll never have peace or joy. If we don't have that, we don't see that, you know, every time that everything that I'm doing, the step is guided by Him, He's the leader, then we always will not have joy. Even in problem, we will not have joy. Amen? In this world, or we will not have walk in the world with peace. The second thing that we see the cause of is the second thing, the first one we saw the context. The second one we see the cause of his imprisonment. The Jews arrested Paul, but did not see him, but he did not see that he was a prisoner of the Jews. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Jews arrested Paul, accused Paul, and gave it to the Romans. So that when Jews put them into prison, he didn't see that he was imprisoned by the Jews. When the Romans were guarding him, took him from Jerusalem down to Caesarea, from Caesarea he went up to Rome, he didn't see that he was a prisoner of the Romans. Do you follow what I'm saying? He didn't see in his mind that he was a prisoner of Romans or the Jews or even the people who were there at the time. Anyone was there, the soldiers who gave protection to him, he didn't see, felt that he was in prison. He was not feeling that even Romans, as you see, he's going to see Caesar now. Caesar, he's going to see Caesar and talk to Caesar now. The highest man, the most powerful man in Rome. But you see, he felt that I'm not prisoned by Caesar. He started off this word. I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. For what? For the Gentiles. Praise God. Wonderful. See, this man has a passion. He didn't say anything else. He said, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Every time when we see a situation in our life that we are seeing, the situation controls us, and we don't see Christ in that situation, definitely we are prisoner of the situation. Do you follow what I'm saying? We have so many crises this week, as I told you. I had so many people coming for this counseling for marriage problems. Praise the Lord. There were some of them already being back again. But what happens? If you see the situation, if you see the problem will become a controlling effect in your life. If I've got financial problems, if I've got a problem with my company, if I've got a problem with my family, if I've got a situation in my situation where I'm supposed to be here this day and I paid the ticket, I couldn't even go, some of the flight was cancelled or I didn't go because I didn't reach there on time. If the situation is going to drown you down and I've got to preach somewhere or you've got a business meeting somewhere, it's important that you must be attending there. You feel down. Then the situation is controlling us. That's what he says. Unless you're a prisoner of Christ, you cannot overcome a situation. You'll always feel you're imprisoned. in marriages, in families. You're not imprisoned. Ayo, I'm like a prison la. You know, my husband treats me as if I'm in prison. He locks me in the home and then goes out, never care for me. Have you heard that? Does it sound familiar? No, huh? I know it's not here. Amen. It's not here. Right? He doesn't call me and say hello to me. You know what? I had this problem with his son. I have a problem. I'm trying to reach him. I cannot reach him. Ayo, how can I live with this man? The problem was, the situation was overwhelming the person, but did not see Christ in the situation. You would have seen Christ in the situation, that your faith, that God who leads you will be able to give you an answer. He'll take you out of these problems. Paul knew, unless he's a prisoner to Christ Jesus, he cannot face Agrippa. He cannot face anybody else. He is a prisoner of Christ. He has only one objective. I'm going to preach to the man who is the most powerful man in the world. Because I'm a prisoner of Christ. I have a mission to fulfill right in front of him. And this man has to bow down before Jesus Christ. My Lord and my Savior. Do you see my problem? The problem with us. Even church, we've got a problem. The problem issue becomes so big. Even some of you all have got a kind of barrier in front of you. Either anger problem or something like that. I myself as a pastor, I'm finding difficult to enter into this. Fearful. Yo, if I do something, if I say something, I've got a problem. This person will burst out. Or suddenly somebody said here, he'll take out a gun and shoot me. Right? So we are scared or fearful of the people because they create a situation among themselves. Because the situation in their life controls them and they don't see the situation as a problem which can be solved because Christ is in the situation. Amen? Amen? Remember, our Christ is not just come down from there, I'm Christ, and then go out like that and come back. I'm appearing now, and so you believe me, and go off like that. He went down as a man. He lived like a man. And he went until the age of 30, then he took the ministry. Because at the age of 30, only a Hebrew can become a priest. He took the priestly order, the highest order. Then after that, he went to do his ministry for 3 years. He was persecuted, went through all the problems you and I went. Tell me who doesn't talk back behind you. Tell me who never had any problems like that. You'll be very nice to the person behind you. Ayo, this man, I tell you, he preached something else up there, but he doesn't act what he preaches. Ayo, that man. How many of you had the problems? I know you all don't have problems. I have problems. He smiles only now. After that, he doesn't smile at me. Right? All the problems. Why? Doesn't Jesus Christ go through that? The same people he fed? Multitudes of them? The same people say, crucify him! Crucify him! The same mouth that confessed Jesus Christ is Lord is the same mouth which confessed, crucify him, kill him. So brothers and sisters, our mouth, our lips, if we say and worship God and say, God, you're holy. You're wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I praise you. Come outside and use all the wicked words and speak to another person with all the wicked words. Some of the words cannot find in the dictionary. Thesaurus also cannot find. I looked for it, I cannot find the meaning. Hello? Be careful what comes out from our mouth. What condemnation comes out of our mouth. That is why he knows that he is a prisoner of Christ. In every situation, I will not let anything come out of my mouth which is unholy. I am a prisoner of Christ. I shall not curse the man who prisoned me, the Jews. They don't like me. I will not curse the people of Romans because they put me into the prison and tie me up and chain me up at night as if I'm going to run away. But he had joy. Unless you have Christ inside you, unless you become a prisoner of Christ, you cannot have joy in your life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. He talks about, he was discouraged. Even in trials, he rejoiced the Lord. Amen. Even in trials, you'll know one more man, Silas too. went through problem with him in the prison. He rejoiced hanging around like that. He was chained, hanging around, and he was worshipping God, rejoicing. And the chains broke. The doors of the prison broke open. Why? Because he rejoiced in the time he was in the prison. Because he knows he was in the physical prison, but in the spiritual, he was not a prisoner of anything else except for Christ Jesus. Amen? Praise God. James, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, faith and not only by sight. Not only have faith, but also we must do an action. There must be also inside. There was something that is happening. Okay, yes, I believe in Christ Jesus. I know, but this question I cannot handle. I know in my life, since I gave my life to God, these years I walked, every situation before even I ask, He's already provided. And I think all of you know my situations. Every situation in my life, as a pastor, as a father of children, somehow or other, God was there doing at the right time, right things, at a moment that I needed most, He was there. He solved it for me. Because that's why He says, even before you ask, don't you know the Father in heaven already know what you need? Unless we are a prisoner of Christ, we cannot have that kind of faith. You must be imprisoned by Christ. Everything in me is about Christ. Amen? Every situation in me is about Christ. Amen? All things work together for the good of them that love God. Romans 8:28. Everything that worked in the life of Saul, Paul now, is for the work good of God. Because God used him. God used him to speak to big men. He spoke to many people. Amen? And Acts chapter 16, verse 19 to 25. I told you just now, Silas and Paul were in the prison. They were rejoicing and worshiping God. James chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 19. We are taught to rejoice even in trial moments. Amen? Praise God. Now, he had wardens in his life. He had wardens. At night he was imprisoned and he was chained to the security guard, or rather the Roman soldiers in Rome. Daytime he had freedom a little bit. He was preaching. He was talking. But somehow or other God used him mightily. Because he didn't see the problem as a problem, but he saw God, he is imprisoned by God, and God is taking care of him. He didn't quit. Many of us quit in life because of the situations in life. Tell me how many of you didn't quit in life. I know all of you are good people. Except for this man standing up here. I quit in my life many times. You all know. I even wanted to attempt a suicide in my own life. Because I wanted to quit. The spirit was not right. You do not know the knowledge of God. You were not imprisoned by God, Jesus Christ. But imprisoned by the worldly things. Like a baby, like a child. When you don't get something, you tend to be very, show your tantrum. The chairs will fly, the spoon will fly, the plates will fly, and you'll cry out very loudly. So was everybody. I was one of them. Grown up baby. So we all have a system in our life that imposes us, that the situation will control us. Unless Christ is part of us, unless we are imprisoned by Christ, we cannot go on, continue. We somehow or other stop continuing in our journey. And we say, no, we can't continue. You'll see in Psalm 37:23, Paul understood. But God was working in his life. Paul had a reason. If I am imprisoned by God, God will be the warden for me. He'll be working for me. What is the job of a warden? To take care of you, is that right? A warden in a prison, I know there's somebody sitting here who's a warden before. I won't mention names. You go and find out afterwards. You have to provide food for the person, make sure the person is healthy. Otherwise, the warden will be punished by the superintendent. What happened to this fellow? He's dying already. What happened? He didn't feed them. A warden's job is to take care of the wardens in his custody. So those prisoners are in his custody of Christ Jesus. In him, he will take care of. Amen? Amen? He knows he will take care of. And in everything that he accomplishes, every glory goes to God. Job 23:10. It is always the unseen hand of Christ Jesus in the life of Paul that is why kept him going. He kept him, keep on moving and moving and moving. He emptied himself. Sometimes our life is not because it's a product of some of the things that we think. It is a product of the things that we have done before, or because of sin, or because of something in our life. It's not because of that. It's because that we are in his control. We are in his imprisonment. Because we are imprisoned by him, we can be the controller. He can be the controller of our lives. Amen? Praise God. Number three, he is the controller of our lives. Most of the time, what we do, what we say, is controlled by people. Now, how many of us serve, please, man? I'm not talking about husband and wife, okay? Outside of the world. We please man. Okay? We please man. Why we please man and woman? Because we want to get something out of something, somebody. We have a motive. But in Christ Jesus, it's not like that. We please him because we are imprisoned by him. Unless you please him, like Joseph pleased the warden, the chief warden in that prison when he was, that he was elevated to what he was before. He was elevated from ordinary prison to be the overseer of all the prisoners. Joseph was one of them, the Old Testament. Joseph did not come up there and say, I'm in prison, yes. But he did not see to. Like Paul, he didn't see. He took the opportunity and started listening. All the time he had in his life, in the prison time, everything that he discerned from God, he had a lot of time. He didn't have to travel outside. He had so much of time. Everything that God spoke to him, everything that he received, he was able to write it. And he was able to share it to all the churches. Not only Ephesus Church, Corinthians Church, Colossians Church, Thessalonian Church, the Hebrews he wrote to them, he wrote to the Roman Church, because he was able to sit down and have enough time to receive from God. So many of us, our life, we say, God is not speaking to me. I ask you a question, how long do you sit down before God? How many times do you seek God, Jesus Christ, to be in your life? How many times do you seek a problem comes? Do you call Jesus Christ or do you call 911? This is not America. What's our number? I also don't know what's the number. 9999. Right? Or whatever number you call. You know, you call SOS to somebody. I told you a true story that happened in this church. The pastor who trained me is a German. Pastor Hildegard. Pastor Hildegard had a problem. She said, Lord, help me, Lord. I want to overcome this problem, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have helped me, Lord. Thank you. The next moment, she went down, walked down. Before she go to the kitchen, she picked up the phone. Kring, kring, kring. Hi, Susanna. I've got this problem. Can you help me? He just asked the Lord, but you go and ask Susan to help you now. So which one does we make? We have to make our mind, you know. Whose help do you want? If God will bring that help to you. Amen? You believe that? Do you have faith that God will solve the problem in your life? Amen? So he had all the time that he was able to receive and download everything. As the Lord was downloading to him, he was able to receive everything and note it down and send out letters. Even daytime in Rome, he was able to talk to the neighbors because he had time. Amen? How many times did we speak to our neighbors? Do you know your neighbor or not? Next door neighbor in your house. If you are staying in apartments or condominiums, you don't even know them. I just moved into one. I don't even know who's staying in front of me or behind me, the other side or this side. Because I don't know them. The former one I know. But this one I don't know. No. I don't see them coming out. Right? We don't know our neighbors sometimes. But Paul was able to speak to his neighbors. Whatever the Lord, whoever saw the Lord pleased, is pleased with that he did in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Psalm 135, 6. Whatever pleases him, as the warden as the custodian of this imprisonment that you have given your life to him. The moment we are saved, we gave our life to him. And God will take care of that. Take care of every situation. I am in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11. That his will be upon our lives. Amen? Amen? Amen. The message today is not just to show us that what Paul went through in his life, but it's about what we can learn from Paul in his life. We are free. We are greater people than him. And yet we do very little things in our lives. I'll give you a story of a man. It's a true story in this church, what happened to this man. It's a testimony. It's not a story. There was this man who was a very well-learned man. He's a doctorate. And his parents has gone to rest. So he was in the custody of his brother. There was wealth. And the brother and the sister-in-law decided that all of them should migrate to Australia. He went to Australia. He couldn't accept the lifestyle they have there because he was used to the lifestyle here. He became a little bit depressed. As depression went on and they all came back here, his depression continued for a while. Then he behaved like a monkey. And how does a monkey behave? Doesn't shave, doesn't wear clothing. And he behaved exactly like a monkey. So this pastor was called and he was placed in a place called for people who've got problems, mental problems. Tanjung Rambutan. You know where's Tanjung Rambutan? It's in Ipoh. So some of the doctors also pretend to be like one of them. So when he went inside there, he was behaving like exactly. So they brought him outside. The pastor said, can you bring him outside? They said, cannot. So she has to go and sleep in the cell with him for 3 days. Fast and pray with him. At the end of the day, when you give him a food, he'll just grab the food like a monkey. At the end of the third day, he became a real gentleman. God delivered him out of every problems. Because now he gave his life to God. He gave his life. He came out of the prison, very nice, shaven man, handsome man. And he came out and did things in the world. And now, again, the brother and the sister-in-law says, we have to migrate to Australia. And he became a little bit depressed. Now he pretended to be mentally problem, right? And they caught him and put him into the prison. But he went into the prison, he was normal. He was happy in the place where he was. You know why? He was able to worship among the people who were mentally unstable. Until today, he's got a ministry there. He's older now. He's got a ministry inside the Tanjung Rambutan. He does play music. When the wardens come, he'll pretend to be one of those without mind is not center. Right? He'll pretend like to be one. And after that, when they have already gone away, and he'll start behaving as normal and teaching the people the word of God. How marvelous it is. He was not in the prison, but he was in the prison of Christ Jesus. Because he was in the prison of Christ Jesus, he can use him even in a physical prison. Hello? You follow what I'm saying? This man is still today working inside a prison, pretending to be a insane man so that he can speak to the lives of the people who are insane there. They worship God inside a prison. He's got a guitar. He plays the guitar. People give him Bible. Those people who do the prison ministry go there and give him Bible and distribute the Bible, teach the Bible in the prison. But he's a prisoner of Christ and he enjoys doing what he does. Amen? Praise God. That's a testimony of how people can be in prison in Christ. Though they're in the prison of the world, but they can, every situation, they can overcome and use it for the glory of God. Every situation we overcome is to use for the glory of God. It's not because of my intellectual or my strength that I have got today, what I am today. It's because glory of God. The God, this promise of God, the promise of God upon Abraham, is upon every seed of his and his ancestors. And his ancestors' blessings is upon us. A new blessing has come into his life because of Christ Jesus. for what he had done for us. Amen. A new wineskin he's given us. A new thing that he's given us in our life. In conclusion, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 15. Can you put it on, brother? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 15. We'll all read. As we read, you understand what Paul says about his life. We'll understand what Paul has got in his heart. What Paul, how Paul, from a hardened man who was persecuting the people of God, believers of Christ, he persecuted them, martyred them, some of them. And this man's heart was changed. And he looked and he says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 15. We are hard pressed in every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ, for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. Amen. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. Amen. He's got that faith. That same spirit that raised up Christ Jesus will raise us up from every problems. We could be dead in areas. That a situation could be a dead situation. We are dead. We think it's, oh, this dead meat now in our situation. Or relationship problem. Oh, I've got a problem with my business. I've got a problem in my working relationship. I've got a problem of my finance. I've got a problem that is an accusation. I've got a suit, a court case. I've got a problem that I've got a health problem. In all this, I've got a problem of my child is unhealthy. I've got a problem because I don't have children. I'm barren. Every barrenness in our life, Jesus is here to break it if we become a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you, Father. If there is anyone here, Lord, among your people here today, among your children, who are going through the same difficult times, if they are imprisoned in their way, in the things of the world, every situation, Lord, I pray you break them today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we pray, Lord, we submit ourselves to you, Lord Jesus, as prisoners, as Paul called. I am a prisoner. For whom? For the Gentiles. That's for us. Lord, we want to be a prisoner in you, Lord. That we, Lord, it's for ourselves, for our generations to come, and for the people around us. We want to be in prison with you, Lord. So you'll walk a life as destined by you, not as in the goals or the things that we planned. But Lord, we just pray today. Whatever plans we have, Lord, let it be ordained by you. You, Lord, will carry us through. And you, Lord, will, Lord, guide our steps. Even our steps go astray into the world, you'll bring us back, Lord Jesus. We have the faith. We believe in you. We trust in you. For you are the warden of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.